Good day, and welcome to the TGS Q3 2015 earnings results presentation conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Robert Hobbs. Please go ahead.
Hello, and welcome to TGS's third quarter 2015 conference call. I'm Robert Hobbs, CEO of TGS, and joining me on the call today is our new CFO, Sven-Børre Larsen. Earlier today, we posted our third quarter earnings release and a recorded presentation of the results. I hope you've had an opportunity to view the presentation, and we'll just give a brief summary before we open the call to your questions. In the third quarter of 2015, TGS had total net revenues of $169 million, a decrease of 11% compared to $190 million in the same period 1 year ago. Late sales for the quarter totaled $90 million, down 31% from Q3 of 2014. Net pre-funding revenues were $74 million, up 45% from Q3 2014, funding 55% of the company's multi-client investments during Q3. Our operational multi-client investments totaled $135 million. That's 45% higher than 1 year ago. Proprietary revenues of $5 million were lower than the $9 million from 1 year ago. Our resulting operating profit was $46 million. That's 36% lower than 1 year ago and represents 27% of net revenue. Earnings per share were 39 cents per share compared to 53 cents per share in Q3 of 2014. Cash flow from operations was $129 million compared to $187 million in Q3 2014. And our closing cash position for Q3 was $191 million, which is in addition to the unused revolving credit facility of $50 million. Our backlog amounted to $182 million at the end of the quarter. That's a decrease of 25% from last quarter following a very active month of investment and associated revenue recognition. Moving to operations, TGS made good progress on its Mexico activities during Q3, with 4 vessels now active on the Gigante 2D seismic program. We now have exceeded the 25% progress mark with over 47,000 kilometers acquired on the survey. TGS also commenced multi-beam operations on the U.S. side of the Gulf of Mexico during the quarter and will continue in Mexican waters in Q4. During Q3, TGS commenced the acquisition of the second year of a multi-year 2D program offshore Northeast Greenland. The ice conditions and the operational performance have been very good, and the company was able to acquire 7,300 kilometers of this program, leaving only 1,800 kilometers to be acquired in 2016 to fulfill our commitment to the pre-funding customers. TGS was also very active in a number of other offshore regions during Q3, including East Canada, the Barents Sea, and the U.S. Gulf of Mexico. In addition, TGS continued the expansion of its U.S. onshore library in the Utica and the Scoop plays. During Q3 2015, TGS completed the acquisition of Polarcus's Northwest Europe multi-client data library for a total of $21.4 million. The closing of the purchase of certain Polarcus's multi-client projects in West Africa took place in October. This morning, we announced our latest product offering to our Geologic Products and Services division. TGS has acquired Digital Petrodata, a Denver, Colorado-based energy-focused GIS company. The addition of Digital Petrodata allows TGS to now offer a digital GIS reference database on producing oil and gas fields in the U.S., and it will be a great addition to our current geologic library in the U.S. The demand for seismic data has continued to weaken during the first 9 months of the year, and oil companies seem determined to continue their efforts to reduce investments and cut costs. Most oil companies have signaled further cuts in 2016, and a couple have indicated reductions in 2017 as well. In order to adapt to the changing market conditions, TGS implemented a cost reduction program in the first quarter of 2015, resulting in a significant reduction in operating expense. Due to the continued weak market conditions, the company is in the process of further reviewing the cost base with the aim of realizing additional cost reductions from the beginning of next year. Although the seismic market has weakened substantially over the past year, TGS's positive view on the long-term outlook of its asset-light multi-client strategy has been reinforced. The company has taken advantage of the slow market to secure adequate land and marine crew capacity for the planned projects at favorable arrangements. The acquisition cost per unit has come considerably down, and the multi-client investments in 2016 are likely to be lower than in 2015. Our 2015 revenue and investment guidance remains unchanged from last quarter at approximately $630 million of revenue and approximately $490 million of investment for 2015. At this time, we'll open the call to your questions. Elaine, I'll turn the call over to you now.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will take questions in the order received and will take as many as time permits. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We will take our first question from Amy Wong from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi there. It's Amy Wong from UBS. I have three questions, please. The first one relates to this morning's announcement that PGS will be leasing the two Sanco vessels instead of them staying with Polaris. And you have been big users of these two vessels in the past. So could you perhaps give us a comment on how you feel that now these vessels being leased by PGS could may or may not affect kind of your the availability to you and the cost to you? My second question relates to the R&D credit you recognize in the quarter, whether that is repeatable and how we should think about that benefit. And then the third question then is related to your impairment testing of your multi-client library. Can you give us some parameters that you used at the third quarter and how, maybe your view on the oil price in 16 and 17 has a, can potentially change that impairment test outcome? Thanks.
Sure. Thanks, Amy. Yeah, in regards to the announcement this morning regarding our suppliers in the Senko vessels, we right now in the market that we're in right now, there's no issues acquiring adequate capacity for us to continue our investments. We're in a market right now that's dramatically oversupplied. Like to see a broad mix of healthy suppliers. We always like to see that. But you have to let the market sort of dictate what's happened. And so, what we've seen this morning doesn't really concern us at this point. It's not really an issue for us. I'll just point out that the boats have currently not been used by Polaris. They've been used by Dolphin or been on lease by Dolphin. It's not something that concerns us at this point. There's plenty of capacity both onshore and offshore for us to accomplish our investment plans. The next two questions I'm going to turn over to Sven Bora, and he'll handle the tax and the impairment testing questions.
Yeah, in regards to the tax question, the refund that we achieved on the R&D spend is definitely a one-off, so you shouldn't expect that to be repeated going forward. We have had a project ongoing that we completed now in the third quarter, and that has been successful. But it is a one-off. With regards to impairment testing, in general, we feel fairly comfortable with the library that we got. We feel that we have adequate buffer on a consolidated basis. But of course, we do the impairment testing on a survey by survey basis rather than on consolidated basis. So Of course, we cannot rule out that there will be impairments going forward. The main parameter we're looking at, of course, is sales and sales expectations. And of course, when the market weakens, sales expectations are basically coming down. So it's fair to say that in the current market, the risk of impairments is increasing.
Great, Ben. Very much. Thank you very much. Great. Good to hear from you. And thanks, Robert, for your answer as well. I'll turn it over.
Sure, Amy.
We will take our next question from John Olison from ABG. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Houston. A couple of questions. You mentioned that a couple of your clients have indicated that they will cut spending also in 2017. I presume that it's year-on-year relative to spending in 2016. Could you elaborate a little bit about it? Is it particular regions, and how good will do you think these clients have on spending in 2017?
Yeah, I mean, it's I think certainly we're expecting further declines in 2016. What our comments on 2017 that we made today are based upon a couple of notable comments that I think analysts have actually reported on a couple of larger oil companies, global oil companies. They're super majors. So I think it's pretty well published that a couple of those have come out and described potential further E&P spending reductions in 2017 over 2016. So we just have to watch it closely. You know, the great thing, John, about our about the way we run our business is we can react very, very quickly. And I think as we look at our business going forward, we're probably in a period right now that is more uncertain than we've seen it in many years, and we have to plan to handle really any contingency going forward in a market like this. So that's a challenge of our management, and I think comments from very large super major customers like this. Where they're talking about further reductions in 2017, we have to take those into account.
So nobody has actually, none of your clients have actually said that to you. It's more.
That's correct. These are published comments. Yeah.
And then on the guidance for the year, you're thinking 6% for the year, which implicitly means a very weak Q4. Are you sticking to the guidance just due to uncertainty, or is there hope for some upside on that number, or any reasons why Q4 will be this weak? And maybe in particular, don't you expect a normal seasonal uptick in sales in Q4 this year?
Yeah, you know, I think kind of going back to how I answered the last question, I think we're in a market that's just extremely uncertain, and I think in any given quarter, the last month of the quarter carries a huge percentage of sales in any given quarter. And just given the uncertainty that we have in the market right now and the place that we're in terms of Q4, I think we just need to be prudent. I do think we're in a very, I mean, let's face it, we are in a very weak market for seismic data. I can't stress that, more. It's tough. And we see some customers, obviously from our Q3 results, we've seen some customers that are still consuming data and exploring in certain areas. But we're having to scrape extra hard for those sales. And I think right now the outlook for Q4 is pretty murky right now, John.
Mm. And my final question is related to dividends. You have a new slide that shows strong cash generation delivered shareholder value. How important is it for you guys to hold the dividend on 8.5? Because I would expect if you cut investment significantly next year, which you are indicating that you will do, that should improve cash flow. So how important is it for you to keep not to cut dividend, but keep dividend at current level?
Yeah, I think we've said, and our board's communicated that it's certainly our ambition to maintain the dividend, and where that's important to us. I think in saying that, we're we're going to continue to look at our cash flow prospects going forward and the health of the market. As we've communicated in the earnings release today, we're going to quarterly dividend payments in 2016. Obviously, after our Q4 earnings release in Q1, we'll communicate a level that we'll be paying out in the first quarter, and we've communicated that it's our aim to keep that steady through the years. We're in our budget period right now, and obviously an outcome from that budget is going to be a view on our cash flow, and that will impact the level of dividend in 2016, but certainly it's the ambition that we're going to maintain it.
All right, that's all for me. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, John.
We will take our next question from Christopher Mahler-Loken from SB1. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, if you're in Houston. In terms of the third quarter results, were they stronger than you had internally expected?
No, they were pretty much in line with our expectations.
And going back to John's question, so of course year to date only down 22% top line. Guidance basically implies roughly 30% decline. So you would say that the guidance is just a reflection of the low visibility you have for Q4?
It's a reflection of the market. Given what visibility we have in late sales right now, obviously at this point of the year and point of the quarter, we have very high visibility on our investments and our pre-funding at this point.
Mm.
We feel comfortable with the guidance that we have right now, and I think it reflects the health of the market that we're in.
And also, of course, we will have much lower activity with regards to acquisitional seismic data in Q4. So investment level will be substantially down from Q3.
Mm. You have also previously guided that investment level in 16 will come down versus 15, also just due to the price effect here on chartered capacity. But would you care to give any interval or quantification of how much it will be reduced?
Not at this point. Yeah, we'll come out in January with our guidance for 2016 and disclose that at that point.
Hmm. In the outlook comment in the quarterly report, you mentioned that you will remain optimistic in terms of inorganic opportunities. You previously acquired the Polarcus library. Would it be mainly library companies or libraries you would look for, or are there other types of assets like the acquisition you announced today?
Obviously, since we announced one today, we're looking for a broad breadth of data companies that span the seismic and geologic product space. The company that we acquired today is really in its core a data company, and they use GIS technology in order to deliver the data to our customers. You should probably assume that any kind of M&A that we do going forward would be, obviously oriented to the EMP space and be oriented to a data business.
If you're not, I understand that you're not want to give guidance for 2016 yet, but would you quantify how much capacity you've locked in for 2016? So far, I'm mainly assuming it's Mexico program, of course, continuation of Greenland and Newfoundland.
Well, certainly we're wrapping up our Eastern Canada operations shortly, our 3D operations and 2D operations. We'll have our Mexico projects going through into 2016, and that'll be five 2D vessels, and then of course our multi-beam operation, which is a Fugro vessel, and so those will go into 2016. And then we do have our final season in Greenland off that multi-year program. That's all we've communicated so far in terms of intentions, investment intentions for 2016.
Hmm. And again, strong revenues from North South America again, but would you care to split it a bit on in terms of, you know, Mexico, U.S. side of Gulf, South America? It seems, based on the numbers you reported tonight, that pre-funding in Mexico could have been a bit higher than we had assumed originally.
Well, I mean, we're pleased with our pre-funding in Mexico. You know, we don't guide specific revenue splits and that sort of granularity to your question, but you know, we've been happy with our pre-funding levels in Mexico. We're happy with where we've stood in Eastern Canada, and we've communicated before that in Greenland, Northeast Greenland, that's a very heavily pre-funded 2D project on the multi-year program. So all of those, you know, contributed to good pre-funding results in Q3, as well as, and I'll point out, you know, we wrapped up our onshore activity on the Blanchard and Freeport surveys as well in Q3 and then early Q4, or will be wrapping up the Oklahoma operation in Q4, mid Q4. So, and typically our onshore, as you know, Christopher, our onshore activity typically carries higher pre-funding than sort of your average marine project.
That's it for me. Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question in today's question and answer session, please press star 1. Please ensure that the mute button on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will now take our next question from Rahul Vat from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Rob, and welcome to the new CFO. I just had some few questions on the conversations with your customers for 2016. Has that started? Do you have any feel on if pricing reduces a bit, people will be more interested in buying seismic data, or is it just that they have no money to spend at the moment?
Well, very few of our customers have communicated what their budgets are going to be for 2016. You know, I think you know, we have to wait and see what that's going to be. You know, the level of customers we deal with right now aren't typically, or at least the level of the organization that we deal with in selling our product, they're certainly not in positions to communicate what their intentions are likely to be in 2016. I think it's our expectation that we're going to continue to see a slow market through 2016. We believe that we're going to have to obviously see an uptick in commodity prices, and you know, our customers right now are focused on cash flow, and that, you know, our product is largely an exploration product, so it's I think this is a cycle that's going to take a little while to come out of, and you know, obviously nobody can really call the timing of that, but they would not be wise to call the timing of that, but certainly it's our belief that 2016 we're going to continue to see a slow market.
Okay, understood. And on the sales that you've seen so far, are you seeing any kind of trend in the sense that companies are preferring to explore near existing infrastructure location, existing fields, rather than in frontier regions or something? Are you seeing more sales in such region, or is there no such trend?
I'd probably say the trend has not changed all that much for us. I mean, I think that could be, I think it's evidenced by our recent activities in Greenland and off the east coast of Canada and frontier areas like Mexico deep water. I think there's evidence that there's still interest in frontier exploration. Yeah.
All right, perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Rahul.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. We will take our next question from Isuru Sen from Radiant. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for the update. Quick question, kind of coming back to this from before. with the lower commodity price environment and the availability of onshore and safe jurisdiction, are you seeing activity levels move towards onshore U.S., North America, and therefore are you increasing your investments in those shale plays? I see a slide there talking about your activities, but could you talk a bit about that? Is that a structural shift that you're seeing in the industry that you're getting ready to face, or is that it's just a temporary thing and offshore will come back?
I think our, the percentage of, on slide 25 in our earnings release this morning, we show our activity both marine and onshore, and it's actually been pretty steady over the past couple of years. We've continued to have one or two onshore projects being acquired at any one time. There's no reason for me to believe that the percentage of our onshore investments are necessarily going to increase or decrease versus the percentage of our offshore investments. Our customer interest is pretty, for us, for our product, has been pretty static in both areas.
It's really encouraging to see the share buyback with the cash flow that you generate, and if you're expecting lower investments next year, would we expect that to increase? I mean, assuming the current environment persists, or would you rather pay that out as dividends rather than share buyback? How do you think about that?
So, Isuru, we haven't done a share buyback since, I guess, we wrapped up in first quarter of 2015 was the last bit of shares we bought back. And that was from a authorization that we had to buy back shares in 2014. So, the board has traditionally viewed share buyback as probably second priority to return value back to our shareholders versus dividend. And, you should probably view that as, a way for the company to return, excess cash at any given point back to the shareholders. So I think right now the focus is clearly, as it has been over the past year, been on dividend.
Yeah, thank you very much.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. Please ensure the mute button on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will take our next question from David Herman from Crispin Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Going back to your earlier comment about the year-to-date revenues being down 22%, your guidance being down 30%, and tying that with the comment that the last month of the quarter has been a big impact on the quarter, are you anticipating a budget flush in the fourth quarter, or are you somewhat concerned there may not be, therefore you're maintaining your conservative 2015 revenue guidance?
Yeah, I think you're right, David. We traditionally do see some budget flush money in the last quarter of the year, and that's traditionally been one reason why TGS's revenues tend to be higher in the last quarter of the year. You have some seasonality. There could be a little bit of that this year. I mean, we are in discussions with customers now that are looking at sort of volume deals that they might pull the trigger on in Q4, but it's I think we have to just be cautious in the market that we're in right now, that money's tight for seismic data. There's not as oil companies are not exploring as they were in previous years, and again, I would say that the degree of uncertainty is quite high near term. I think we're being realistic with our guidance, we may not expect the big bump that we have seen in past years in Q4, just given the current appetite for exploration data right now.
And in the second quarter, you attributed the revenue decline to being more volume based than price based. Is that a similar comment that would apply to the third quarter revenue decline as well?
Yeah. No, I think it's probably more volume. We haven't seen much of a price impact in our revenue on our revenue stream. You know, the multi-client business, you're pretty much able to hold pricing once you have a project acquired and in place. So that hasn't been a big driver. It's mainly been volume.
And the last question is just, you know, you've mentioned the uncertain market out there, as well as your customers have provided commentary, and, you know, given the headcount reductions that, you know, in the departments of a lot of your large customers, I assume there's a lot of uncertainty. But does that impact your confidence level or your outlook for the maintaining countercyclical investments that you've historically done during these periods with the very attractive day rates, or could there be, you know, a temporary pause until you get more visibility on what the outlook for the market is when budgets come out and you have more active dialogue with your customers? Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, when our customers are cutting costs like they have been over the past several months, you know, through the summer, it obviously is a signal that they're not going to consume as much data and that they're pulling back from exploration. We've seen a lot of headcount reductions in exploration departments in the E&P sector, and that's a function of the fact that their, you know, their exploration plans have geared down and they're pulling back, which obviously impacts the need for exploration data. I think we, you know, clearly have been this year, and we clearly intend to going forward to be a countercyclical investor. You know, we're going to continue to invest. And as we do that, I can't communicate what levels that will be for 2016 or really past Q4, but I think that, you know, we're going to be able, as we invest, we will be able to take advantage of what right now is probably more favorable conditions in the marine and onshore acquisition market in terms of contracting services than we've seen in many years. In fact, you know, if you think about it, in 2016, this will be the first full year that we will have been able to take advantage of rates, you know, that, you know, towards the bottom of the market, presuming we're at the bottom right now. So, you know, 2015, we still had a lot of acquisition and investment that was based upon rates that were negotiated in previous periods. So I think, you know, we're looking at that as we put together our 2016 plan. I think that's, you know, that effect has gone into comments that we made in what little guidance we have provided to 2016, that our intentions are that we'll invest less cash next year in our data library. It doesn't necessarily mean that we'll be acquiring, you know, substantially less data, though. You know, and that's sort of the magic of our business model. Lane, do we have any more questions?
At the moment, we don't have any questions signaled. Final reminder, okay. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the 1. We have a follow-up question now from Christopher Muller-Loken from SB1. Please go ahead.
Yes, just a follow-up regarding the change from annual to quarterly dividends. Is it correct so that when you release fourth quarter results in February, that you'll announce a first quarterly dividend payment, but that you'll have to wait until you have done the ordinary AGM and got the necessary approvals until that first dividend could be paid? So you're announcing a quarterly dividend in Q1, and it will be paid in Q2. And when you report Q1 results in May, you could speed up the process a bit, so you'll get basically two quarterly dividend payments in the second quarter. Is that correct?
It's not correct. In the AGM in May, we got the authorization, or the board got the authorization to pay quarterly dividends, and that authorization lasts until the next or lasts throughout Q1, basically. So it means, okay, that we are able to pay the Q1 dividend after we've been releasing the Q4 results. And then in for the dividend in Q2, we will announce that in relation to the Q1 results. But for technical reasons, that cannot be paid out until after the AGM. So that particular dividend will be part of the new authorization that we will seek at the AGM on the 10th of May. But then when we come to the third quarter, we will be back to sort of the normal schedule again. So the third quarter dividend will be paid in connection with the release of the Q2 results and paid immediately afterwards, as described in the quarterly report.
Great. Thanks for the clarification. Thank you.
As there are no further questions in the queue, I would now like to turn the call back over to you for additional or closing remarks.
Thanks, Elaine. Thanks for calling in today, everybody. I think it's clear customers have pulled back dramatically from exploration and demand for seismic data overall has deteriorated, as we've stated. You know, our near-term outlook for seismic demand remains uncertain. However, we remain very confident that TGS has the perfect business model to manage through the cycle. You know, that's the foundation of that is our strong balance sheet, you know, our asset-light posture, and allows us to both of those allow us to access interesting opportunities, both organic and inorganic investment opportunities. In addition, our product really provides an ideal tool for energy companies to access seismic data to conduct their technical work in a cost-efficient manner. So there's really not a subsurface imaging product out there that's, you know, a better avenue for oil companies to do what exploration that they continue to do during a difficult period like this. So we think we're in a very, very strong position. So we look forward to reporting to you in January on our guidance for 2016. And thank you very much for your calls.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen.